Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And we are going to keep on fooling them every step of the way until they turn these mics off. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And listen, we're going to fake it till we make it. And I don't feel like we're alone in that venture, Chris, because we have seen plenty of pro sports teams trying to do that over the course of the season. We will get to the NFL teams that have successfully done that. We have a really interesting playoff matchup that we want to zero in on as we get to head towards the divisional round this weekend. But this is also a spot where I got to do a wellness check right now because we know you are our resident diehard Lakers fan around here. And I thought earlier this week when I saw Russell Westbrook dunk Rudy Gobert into the sun. Like, I thought that was going to be the moment where it all clicked and we were all back and we were all good. And instead, what we had go on was a Pacers loss that included Russell Westbrook being benched in the fourth quarter at the end of this game. So, Chris, on behalf of Laker Nation, what's the status right now? You good?
No, it's not good at all. I mean, we were 45 games into the season and we're sitting there one game below 500 and we lost to a team that's 16-29, and they're openly flirting with trading their all-star in order to bring back some more pieces that they feel like they can build around. So, no, I'm not in a great spot, but I also understand that this is a LeBron James-led team, and they're always going to get the benefit of the doubt from me. I just don't know when it comes to roster construction, though, that LeBron, even as great as he's been, is going to be able to do enough in order to get this team to where most Lakers fans expected them to be coming into this season, which is at the top of the Western Conference and competing for a championship once we get to the playoffs. I just don't think that's in the cards for this group of players because, again, I don't think the pieces fit together the way that Frank Vogel and the Lakers brass envisioned it would.
And those pieces start with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the aforementioned Russell Westbrook. We know AD's missed the last 15 games, and the effect has been massive. It's hard to really judge a lot of this, but at the same time, this has been who Anthony Davis has been his entire career. He's been a guy who has always struggled to play anywhere near the entirety of a season. But as we try and gauge this, we got to January. And Chris, I have always said January has traditionally been the LeBron James meltdown month, where if something's going wrong in the season, this is where we start to hear the fit in, don't fit out quotes. These things pop up that inevitably lead to some action around the trade deadline. But LeBron James, as there starts to be conversation about Frank Vogel's job, as questions start to mount about Russell Westbrook and his role on the team here, LeBron James was pretty mum. This was him after their game and the loss against the Pacers when he was asked about Frank Vogel's future.
I'm not in that business of pointing fingers or pointing blame or trying to put a quote at the end or at the start of somebody's someone's commentator of what they feel, you know, our coaching staff or Frank is or where Russ is or where I'm at or AD. If it's not positive for me, it's not my lane. I'm not a negative person. You got something to ask me besides trying to show somebody, I answer those.
Canty and Golic Jr. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So LeBron James doesn't want to bleep out anyone in this, but Chris, as we look around, like, is Frank Vogel's job the solution in all of this? Because from where I sit, it feels like that would just be kind of doing something for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, Frank Vogel isn't the problem. Unfortunately, he's not a part of the solution either. Like, he hasn't done himself any favors in terms of being able to, you know, show that he's doing something that can be construed as a value add to what the Lakers are trying to get done. Like, you know, the juggling of the lineups, him insisting that he wanted to start DeAndre Jordan at center early in the season when we all knew that Anthony Davis at the center represented the best lineup for the Lakers. Playing Rajon Rondo and playing Russell Westbrook in the lineup at the same time, we knew that that wasn't going to work out because neither one of them are a threat from the perimeter consistently. So there have been some things that Frank Vogel has done from a coaching standpoint that make you scratch your head, but ultimately it comes back to the general manager and Lakers ownership deciding that they wanted to roll with one of the oldest rosters in the NBA and thinking that this team defensively would be able to hold up against teams that play with pace on the offensive side. To the contrary, they just can't do that. Now, offensively, the Lakers play with a lot of pace, but they can't keep up with younger, more athletic teams, and that's been the calling card for this team when they're successful since they've gotten LeBron James in free agency. The Lakers are usually tops in the NBA when it comes to playing defense, defensive efficiency, and right now they're just not there, and I don't know that they're capable of getting to that point, Gojo. I don't know that this Lakers team, as constituted, can play defense, good defense, for long enough stretches to be able to climb back in this Western Conference race and be a top four, top five seed. I just don't see that in the cards for them. And so now we're talking about them, even with Anthony Davis being back, I think this is a team that could potentially be staring at the play-in tournament once we get time to talk about playoffs. So, yeah, it doesn't feel good as a Lakers fan right now because it feels like LeBron James, as much as he's done for this team, as great as he's played over the last 15 games where he's led the team in scoring for all 15 of those games, it just seems like it's not going to be good enough in order to get the Lakers to where they want to go.
Yeah, Chris, I agree with you on a lot of those fronts. The defense is the fascinating part for me because that was their hallmark in the bubble, was a team that was going to strap you up in all this. And I know Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook have only played 15 games together during the course of this season. And in the time Anthony Davis has gone out, they were ninth in the NBA on defense. Starting at that time here, they are 26th in the NBA in the 15 games that he has missed. So he is a one-man difference maker to an extent in that regard. But, Chris, that only solves so much because the other part of this problem is the Russell Westbrook situation here. That's where I will give Frank Vogel and this entire front office credit, because Frank Vogel is someone who seems empowered to go out and make the decisions that they have to with Russell Westbrook, which included benching him last night in the fourth quarter in a way that certainly – ticked Russell Westbrook off, left the court with a few seconds left on the clock, left the arena without speaking to the media on all of this. And listen, we saw the response again from LeBron James on this one here. Everyone understands the feelings coming from Russell Westbrook in this situation, LeBron James in their presser.
How was Russ after the game? Is that the sort of thing that bothers him?
Have you followed Russ throughout his career?
Not as closely as you have, probably.
Okay. Have you followed Russ throughout this season? Yeah. Would you think that would bother Russ not being in the late game?
I would imagine.
Okay. Agree to answer.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chris, I don't know if you've seen ever the meme of the Mario character jumping through all those flaming loops as someone trying to avoid all their problems. That is LeBron James trying to avoid hurting anybody's feelings in this spot. And that's why it's difficult with friends in these situations. It's difficult with a guy as prideful as Russ, because you know this. All athletes, we got egos. Everyone's got a way that they view themselves in these situations. And for Russ, it is built up over years of being an MVP, being the leader on his teams. He is finding out the hard way that life playing with LeBron James is different. And we've seen superstars all going back here. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Kyrie Irving. Everyone has talked about this. Kevin Love is someone who was vocal about it. You learn that life is a different way, even for a star player, when you got to go over and play with LeBron. And Chris, I think that goes doubly so when you're a guy like Russell Westbrook, whose skill set is pretty redundant, who's at his best when he's attacking in the paint, and who has fewer opportunities to do that on a team that's already got two guys that we consider better than him that on their best day are supposed to live there in LeBron and AD.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Russ is primarily an on-the-ball guy when it comes to the offensive side of the court. But when you play with LeBron James, you know he's going to be the primary ball handler. So if you don't have the ball in your hands, you've got to figure out a way to be effective on the offensive side, and that's just something that Russ hasn't gotten acclimated to. And quite frankly, at this stage in his career, I don't know that he's going to be able to figure that out, Gojo. So, yeah, when it comes to the crunch time minutes that have to be played, I can understand why Frank Vogel would think that there is a better option, there are better lineups that don't include Russell Westbrook at the end, because he's not a knockdown shooter from the perimeter, because he is a walk and turnover waiting to happen. And so you want to put a lineup out there that's built around the strengths of LeBron James's game, because your team is going to go as far as he can carry you. But even with LeBron James playing otherworldly, Gojo, even with LeBron James threatening to lead the league in scoring at 37 years old, it's still not good enough for the LA Lakers. LeBron has got 20 games where he scored 30 or more points. The Lakers have lost half of those. That's the most of any player on any team in the NBA this season. Next closest guy has 7 losses. So that just goes to show you that even with the greatness of LeBron James, this team is having a hard time overcoming some of the deficiencies on this roster. And that's why I don't have a whole lot of optimism in terms of what the future looks like. So when people start speculating as to Frank Vogel's job security, I think it's rightfully so, because everything that the Lakers are doing right now, it just isn't good enough based on the expectations, and everybody within the organization, players, coaches, executives, should feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And listen, this is not an excuse, but part of this is circumstances. When you look at the Lakers' most used five-man lineup, that group has been on the court together for 68 minutes combined this season. Every other team in the NBA has had at least one lineup play a minimum 100 minutes together during the course of this season. So the Lakers have been fighting an uphill battle all year long. We'll see. Anthony Davis could be back within the next week to 10 days if things continue to go well, and that is when judgment is going to start because, oh, by the way, they've got the toughest back half of the season schedule that they're getting ready to embark on. So we will continue to check in on the Los Angeles Lakers for Chris Caney's sanity. But coming up next, let's check in the Eastern Conference with one team who has current and former stars worried that they may be wasting the prime window of one of the best players in the league. We will do that after this word from Indeed. Now, running your own business requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. So by the time you need to hire, well, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, and from west to east we go because last night Joel Embiid went off. Chris, in a game where we watched the opposing center and Mo Bamba on the, I mean, certainly struggling is putting it lightly, Orlando Magic, go 7-for-8 from beyond the three-point line. I thought that was going to be the most impressive thing I saw. And then Joel Embiid decided to finish this game off with a 50-burger in a comeback win for the 76ers here. One of the most incredible performances I've seen so far this season.
No doubt. But first, let's start with Mo Bamba. Everybody could use Mo Bamba, right? Like, if we're being honest about it.
Absolutely.
Nah, the young guy was fantastic. Harlem World stand up. But Joel Embiid, I mean, we're running out of ways to describe him, different adjectives to use, because the guy is otherworldly right now. He was in his bag last night. I mean, the perimeter game was working, shooting step-back threes, but then also being able to cross guys over and take it into the hole strong. Like, Embiid is at that MVP level, and everybody that's in NBA circles is just talking about how magnificent that he's been. When you look at the roster for the Sixers, knowing that they don't have two-time All-Star Ben Simmons on the court, they have no business being the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, but the reason why they're there is because of Joel Embiid's high level of play. Over the last 15 games, he's averaging over 30 points a game. And oh, by the way, his team is 11-4. He has put the 76ers on his back. And so when I think back to the comments made by Charles Barkley earlier this week, I can understand why he's standing up for a fellow big that's with the Philadelphia 76ers, because it's hard to do what Joel Embiid is doing. Now, I get it. There are some young players on that team that Embiid believes in, that Daryl Morey believes in, that Doc Rivers believes in, but I don't know that those guys are ready for prime time in terms of helping the Sixers to gear up for a deep playoff run. I just don't think they're there yet. They're going to have to bring back another piece, another all-star caliber player to fit in alongside Joel Embiid in order for this team to take the next step. And I think that's why a lot of people are focusing in on what's happening with the Ben Simmons saga ahead of the trade deadline, just because they recognize how great Joel Embiid is playing right now.
Yeah, I can say, if you want to know how great Joel Embiid is playing, just listen to Joel Embiid talk. This was him after the game, likening the different portions of his game to some pretty noteworthy former players.
Whenever I want, you know, I'm able to be Shaq. You know, whenever I want, I'm also able to be Dirk, Kobe, or MJ, you know, or any guards, really. You know, shooting off the dribble or pull-ups or, you know, ball handling, just a combination of everything offensively. So, you know, I was okay tonight.
Listen, thank God none of this has affected Joel Embiid's confidence. But with good reason. Like, Chris, we just talked about the Lakers. Joel Embiid, when you see him on his best day, when he is healthy and playing this kind of ball like that, is Anthony Davis with the edge that so many of us want for him, right? It is a guy that is able to go out here and do those unbelievable things in every aspect of the court like that. So with that, looking at what Daryl Morey's done here, I think he has come too far to go back now. Because when we started this season, we knew the problems that were going to be there with Ben Simmons and what had gone on really since last year at the end of the postseason. And Chris, I was hammering on the table. Get him out of there. You don't want this hanging over the team now. You want to try and get what you can and set this up going into this season, knowing you got to maximize the best year for a big who's often hurt. But Chris, where we sit now, you've sacrificed too much on that front, in my mind, to all of a sudden cede ground and take less if you're Daryl Morey and you see a long-term plan here.
No, you can't do that if you're Daryl Morey, but the only thing that allows you to stand resolute in your position and execute your strategy is the fact that Joel Embiid is willing to go along with it. And I think that's an incredible amount of foresight by a superstar player that is at the height of his powers, because Embiid recognizes by Daryl Morey taking less in a Ben Simmons trade, although it would help them in the short term, it would compromise the window that they have to compete for championships. If you wait to cash in that chip this coming offseason, when teams know how steadfast you're going to be in your position, then I think you're going to be able to bring back a better player, or at least pieces that would allow you to acquire an all-star caliber player. And that takes some of the heavy lifting off of Joel Embiid moving forward. So I think that has to be the thinking for the Philadelphia Sixers front office, but also their superstar center. And I'll say this, Gojo, because you made the Anthony Davis comparison. Joel Embiid is Anthony Davis with more dog in him. This is a guy that has a little more grit, a little more toughness, somebody that's willing to fight through adversity, somebody that's willing to do the dirty work, because we know Anthony Davis is not, he doesn't want to play center. Like, that's something that he's let it be known his entire career. He doesn't want to play center. He doesn't want to bang with some of the other bigs in the league, and Joel Embiid has readily accepted that challenge. So to me, I have to give him the edge right now in terms of having the conversation of who's the best big man in the NBA. I would side with Joel Embiid over Anthony Davis. I'm not saying that the conversation comes down to just those two guys, but if we're going to boil it down to those two, I'm going with Embiid.
Oh, yeah. Right now, there's been no question. You had the bubble run from Anthony Davis where inside and outside, he was one of the best players. That was where he looked like the guy that was in the Lakers' plans for all those reasons. Joel has been that dude really consistently through last season. And Chris, it really is that added extra part of going out and playing with a partially torn meniscus the way he did in the postseason and dropping back-to-back 40-point games against the Hawks. It's this year. We talk so much about some of the thumbs down that we've seen, certainly Ben Simmons' response to a lot of what he's seen, the criticism. Philly's a tough fan base at times because they're demanding. Joel Embiid and the Sixers got booed off the court last night at halftime when they were down 10 in that game to the Magic. And what was Joel Embiid's response? He came back out and had monster third and fourth quarters for that team. He finished out with 50 points and had them eaten out of the palm of his hand by the end. The dude gets it at the highest level, and so that's why it feels a sense of urgency. I heard Philly fans when they said it last year. We have got to maximize this guy's window. There was frustration in Philly of, why don't people talk about our guy? Why don't people talk about Joel Embiid in that way, where the franchise needs to do right by their superstar player? That's going to be the refrain now here, but at this point, you have got to preach patience, and it is going to be on Daryl Morey to deliver. That's the other part of this, Chris.
Yes.
We talk about this all the time with the NFL. You can stockpile draft picks all you want. You can position yourself well based on the math. You have got to go out and nail it then, and that's really what this becomes about.
No doubt, and that's why all eyes and ears from the NBA world will be on Daryl Morey. If they don't make a deal with Ben Simmons before the trade deadline midseason, then it's going to be focused on the offseason and what he does in the days, in the weeks leading up to the NBA draft, because that's typically the window where we see big blockbuster deals happen. Everybody's going to be paying attention to the return that the Sixers get for Ben Simmons. And Joel Embiid is well within his rights to demand that Daryl Morey bring back an asset that's going to help them do high-level winning, because anything short of that, Joel Embiid has the right to be furious with the organization and furious with Daryl Morey.
Yep, there won't be a person in Philly that will go on the other side of Joel Embiid if this all goes down here. And Daryl Morey, who again, part of leadership is staying the course and putting your you-know-what on the line here, and that's exactly what we've got with Philly's GM right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is Daryl Morey making a mistake with the 76ers and Ben Simmons sitting on the pine right now? But coming up next, you guys listened and or watched me yesterday eat a mayo-covered cricket because I was dumb enough to bet against Tom Brady in the postseason. Am I dumb enough to do it again this weekend? That's next here, Candy and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We completely neglected to get to an incredible career milestone for LeBron James last night that we are going to have Chris Canty alert you guys to. But first, we got to talk to Saeed in Newark. Saeed, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here looking at the Lakers here. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? What's going on? Listen, is there any way we could get rid of Russell Westbrook, man? Is there any way there's any potential trades? You see Frank Vogel on the press conference yesterday saying that he didn't want to play him in the last 3 minutes. Is there anything that you guys could suggest? Is there any trades that potentially that they can get rid of? And is the Washington Wizards GM the GM of the year for making that trade for him and getting rid of Russell Westbrook?
It certainly looks like it right now, man. But, Chris, all $44 million of Russell Westbrook seems about as untradeable as humanly possible at this point in time here. This just seems like one they're going to have to ride out and pray to God that Anthony Davis kind of fixes enough of the ills, especially defensively, to make it work.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Russell Westbrook has a player option for next season at $47 million. So finding a team that's willing to take that off your hands, probably unlikely at the trade deadline. So he seems like he's going to be a part of this team. But I go back to the Kevin Love, LeBron James quote that he had where he said you either fit in or fit out. And it feels like Russ is moving toward being on the outs just because he hadn't figured out a way to play off the ball alongside LeBron.
Yeah, it's going to have to be one of those come-to-Jesus moments where Russ either looks in the mirror and says things are going to have to be different here because of the way this is, because of how different it is playing with LeBron, or this thing is going to continue to smolder, they're going to be in the play-in, and they're going to get bounced very early on in all of this. Chris, we did have a career milestone for LeBron James that you mentioned in the last segment. What did we get to last night?
Yeah, LeBron James had his 10,000th rebound last night. It happened in the fourth quarter. Now, in the first half, LeBron had 18-8, so I figured it would happen before the fourth quarter, but you know that the Lakers and LeBron kind of tailed off at the end of that game, opening the door for the Pacers to win it. But yeah, LeBron James becomes the first player in NBA history to have more than 30,000 points, more than 10,000 rebounds, and more than 9,000 assists. So shout out to the King, the kid from Akron, and of course LeBron James, and only LeBron James fashion had to let us know via Instagram that he had eclipsed that milestone. So shout out to the King for being able to get it done. Now, hopefully that means that we're going to be in store for more wins for the Lakers as we move into the second half of this season.
That is going to be the hope for everyone involved in all this one. So we'll try and dissect more of the Lakers' problems. We're going to talk to PJ Carlissimo, our coach, who's going to be on the call for Suns-Mavs tonight, coming up at 6:30 on ESPN Radio. But right now, we got to get to the hot ticket, brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Visit Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. And, Chris, as we look forward towards this weekend in the NFL, this feels top of mind because, again, I ate a cricket covered in mayonnaise yesterday on air because I was dumb enough to bet against Tom Brady last weekend when he was going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, given 8.5 points. This weekend, the challenge changes a little bit, Chris, here. The matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Los Angeles Rams, we saw it in week 3 of the season. The Rams won that match. What reason do you have to believe it goes differently this time?
Well, I think it does go differently this time just because I'm not sure that Rams offense is going to be able to have balance, meaning running the football and then being able to utilize the passing game for shots downfield. I don't think Ty Bowles is going to afford Matt Stafford the time to be able to allow those routes to develop downfield, the things that we've seen from Cooper Kupp and OBJ over the course of the last month and a half of the regular season on into the postseason. I just don't think it's going down like that. Shaq Barrett, JPP, and Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, they are going to hunt Matt Stafford. And so I think the Rams' best bet in terms of being able to consistently put together drives and move the football have to do with, you know, a similar formula that they utilized back in week 3, which is trying to empty out the set and going with empty backfields in order for Matt Stafford to be able to have a clearer picture in terms of where he wants to go with the football early in the down, and then using the short passing game as an extension of the run game. Now, the one thing I will say is, going back to week 3, Ty Bowles only brought 5 or more rushers against empty sets once, and they ran them about 14, 15 times. So I'm anticipating that Ty Bowles would tweak that formula and tweak that approach. And I think he's going to bring more pressure when he gets those empty looks to force the action a lot sooner than Matt Stafford and that Rams offense will be comfortable with. But, yeah, I don't see the Rams being able to have a whole lot of balance out of their 11 personnel looks, their 12 personnel looks. I think Ty Bowles is going to be much more multiple in terms of how he's going to attack those guys.
It's going to have to be. It's so interesting because you're right. That's what they did the first time. They spread them out. They went to work, and they got the ball in the hands of Cooper Kupp, DeSean Jackson, and the rest of that receiving group, which seems like a good time. Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, talked about that challenge specifically with Cooper Kupp, who, again, no Robert Woods since that last matchup. Odell Beckham Jr. now in the lineup. How they go about containing one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
He's one of the best. I think he and Chris Godwin, to me, are the best all-around receivers in the league because they block. They do everything inside, outside, and they're very comparable. And you know how I think about Chris. So Cooper is he's a challenge, man. And you can't double-team him all day, that's for sure. And they got too many other weapons. So you just got to own up your guy and fight him. He is a hard tackle, just like Chris is.
And, Chris, that is the wild part going into this game, is when you look at the health portion of it, how these rosters have fared since that matchup. Yeah, you lost Robert Woods, who was a huge part of that team. But Odell Beckham Jr. has looked damn good in the last couple of weeks, had a big performance in their wild card game. Cooper Kupp still on the field. The offensive line still healthy. They got Cam Akers back in addition to Sony Michel on that backfield. All of that, the defensive health they've got, versus a Tampa team that we know the back end of that defense has been hurt. Tristan Wirfs, we'll see what he looks like heading into this weekend. Left the last game and finished that one in a walking boot on the sideline. And Chris Godwin, who was such a big part of that Week 3 matchup for Tampa Bay and getting them going off the field here. All of that would make me feel comfortable leaning towards the Los Angeles Rams in this one, who are 3-point dogs in this game. But then you go back with Tom Brady and Gronk on that other side, and man, that is a connection that is battle-tested and going to be able to eat in the middle of that Rams defense. I don't know if I'm ready to make a pick on this one, but Tom Brady is really the only factor in this that has me tilted in favor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now.
Yeah, and the reason why you're leaning that way is because you know how quickly Tom Brady's going to get that football out of his hands. He ain't crazy. He knows he's looking across at a defensive front that features AD, Leonard Floyd, and Von Miller. So he knows that the clock is ticking. He's got some offensive linemen that are banged up. So he's not going to have the time in pass protection that he would typically be afforded. So I'm looking for Brady to attack the middle of that Rams defense early and often. We know the Rams play a ton of zone coverage, particularly cover three, where they're top five in the league, and cover three rate, and then cover four, which they're tops in the league at. They'll mix in some cover six as well. But one of the things that they don't do is play a ton of man coverage, which means there are going to be windows in the middle of those zones, in the middle of that field, the short and intermediate areas, and Tom Brady is going to exploit that area in between the numbers. We've seen him do it in New England. He's done the same thing down in Tampa. And so the question that Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, has to ask himself is, are we going to try to shrink some of those windows in the middle of the field by locking up in man coverage? Because that certainly is one of the answers that you would see from a lot of NFL defenses, but it's not something that the Rams personnel majors in. So do you want to ask your guys to make such a drastic change in the divisional round of the playoffs? That remains to be seen. It's to be determined. But I think that would be the question that Raheem Morris has to answer, and that's the part that's probably going to be a little bit uncomfortable for the Rams in terms of their strategy and how to slow down Tom Brady in that passing attack.
I'd be very curious to see what Gronk's yardage over-under is heading into this week, and I'll have to check on that because I don't want to oversimplify it, but this seems like one of those games. If Rob Gronkowski's hitting the over on that yardage total, things are probably going very well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because on that other side, remember, this is a Rams secondary that is so depleted, they had to go and get Eric Weddle off the street in this one and trot him out in a 2022 football game played in this year. So all of that to keep in mind as we head into this weekend with one of the best matchups here. Maybe not the best matchup. We'll get to that tomorrow as we may have the AFC Championship decided this weekend.
There you go. Next, there you go. Yeah. There listen, you go.
Listen, I can say Titans fans continue to internalize all this disrespect and weaponize it against us. The damned national media out here doing its thing. But coming up next, if we're going to talk about the media, there is only one team to head to. The Dallas Cowboys. We have heard from Mike McCarthy, and I'm not sure how much faith that you give us going forward. That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We got plenty to look forward to heading up into this NFL weekend here. We'll talk to Kurt Morrison from ESPN 710 LA about what the Rams need to do, a much different challenge going up against Tom Brady and the defending champs this coming weekend. But, God, the Cowboys just refuse to quit. The gift that keeps on giving keeps on getting in front of the microphone, postmortem for the Dallas Cowboys 2021-2022 season. And Mike McCarthy, their head coach, has a lot of people eyeing him up. His job has been the discussion of pretty much every show on this network and others for the better part of this week here. And the Cowboys head coach took to his press conference and was asked and talked about his views on his job security heading into the offseason.
You've been a head coach in a high-profile situation for a long time. Do you ever get used to speculation about your job security? How do you deal with that?
I think, you know, internally, and I think for people in this profession, they, you know, it's accepted. You know, it's part of the job. You know, I get that. I understand why you're asking the question. It's part of the job. You have a job to do, and I have a job to do here today and answer your questions appropriately and respectfully. But, yeah, I don't put a lot into it because I know what I personally put into this. You know, I understand what goes on here every day. I know how to win. I know how to win in this league. I know how to win playoff games. I know how to win a championship. So I have great confidence in that. What we've built here in two seasons, I feel very good about. And I think with that, you stay true to that. You know, the hard part's the personal. So we all have kids, you know, so that's the part that I don't like, you know. So, and I just hope people were respectful to that.
You know what?
Come on, dog.
Chris,
Gojo,
I can't let him do it, though.
I cannot let him do it. Stop hiding behind them kids, dog. We're not trying to hear about your kids. Stop hiding behind the kids. I'm sure the kids are fine. There are certain privileges that come along with being the kids of the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure your kids are fine. Amidst the speculation about you losing your job, that's just what comes along with the territory. You've been a coach in this league for a really long time, for the better part of the last two decades. So miss me with the whole kids excuse. This is what comes along with being the head coach of the most visible franchise in the National Football League. It's also what comes along with falling far short of the expectations that everybody, including the owner, had for your team once they got to the postseason. When your owner comes out before Super Wild Card weekend and says it's championship or bust, and you go bust in the first game, a home game where you're favored by 3 points against a team that's the sixth seed, yeah, I think you deserve to get some criticism and your job security should be scrutinized. There's no question about it. It's a what have you done for me lately league, and over the last five seasons, Mike McCarthy has only had one postseason appearance, which is this one. The other three seasons that he's had, he's finished third in the division. So, yeah, Mike McCarthy has a lot of show and prove, Gojo, and I'm tired of him resting on the laurels of winning a championship back in 2010 with Aaron Rodgers. I'm tired of that. How long are you going to trade off of that if you're Mike McCarthy? At some point, you have to do some high-level winning, and it's been a while since we've seen him do that.
He went full LeBron James on this one here. This is bigger than basketball. I am a father. I have kids at home right now. It's a tried-and-true tactic. So from the Lakers and LeBron James to what we've seen with the Dallas Cowboys, it figures the biggest brands would all stick together on this. But, Chris, to your point about next year, and I said this yesterday, I could see them sticking with Mike McCarthy. I could understand that based on some of the change they're getting ready to absorb. But the one thing that has stunned me about this is as much as there can be defensible parts of his tenure here, he had days after this, days after the last game. Like, we talked a lot about Dak and his quote about the refs after the game and said that was unacceptable, shouldn't go that way. Mike McCarthy had days to think about all this stuff. And what did we hear from him? Team looked nervous going into the game here, airing that out in public here. Talked about this excuse with the kids, all of these different things. Defended a play call at the end of the game, making no bones about the execution and all of it. I'm just stunned that someone that's been around this for this long has gone out and was able to come up with so little in his defense after this.
Yeah, why are you defending something that's indefensible? You had 14 penalties in that game, four of which gave the first downs to the 49ers, and the other four took away first downs that your team would have had. Those are things that fall at the feet of the head coach. The situation that you had with the punt team being on the field and then you trying to run your offense out there to get a delay of game penalty on the 49ers defense ends up getting you a delay of game. Those are all on the head coach. So Mike McCarthy got to miss me with the excuses. Just stand in front of it, take accountability, and try to move this thing forward.
That is going to be the charge for Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. Coming up next, though, after his first playoff win, can Matthew Stafford take charge and be the difference maker for the Rams heading into this weekend? Next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.